Morning, everyone. It's really awesome to have all of you in church. It's really, I feel like a father of a family today. I am a father of a family, but I feel of a bigger family as well. So it's wonderful to really to see all of you here and trust that it was so wonderful just to bring our worship to God this morning. And thank you for the worship team. Now, just one or two announcements from my side quickly. I'm flying to Cape Town, South Africa this afternoon. I'm not looking too much forward to that because I have to leave my wife and three kids at home. But for those people, my bosses on the internet may be listening, I just want to say I am looking forward to the pastor summit as well, but not for leaving my family. If there's anything this week, any problems, any issues, something, you can just phone Daniela at the office. She will help you, assist you, and guide you into a direction that we can talk about that problem. I'm coming back on Friday afternoon, so you'll see me next Sunday. I'll be back in the pulpit here. And then also, I just want to really encourage you guys, that thing, that little video clip that we watched about the foundations. I think there's a lot of testimonies in church already about people who did foundation 1, 2, 3, or 4, 5, and what it did in our lives. It's something that we allow God to do something in our hearts. And I really want to encourage you in this next cycle to really come. It's going to take a bit of your time, but I promise you it's going to be rewarding for you. To come to the foundations and really let the Holy Spirit really minister to you and work in your lives. I've done foundation 1 to 5 more than once, and I can promise you it's really a blessing. So please, you need to do the foundation 1 and 2, to do 3, to do 4. So please sign up for that. And I trust that God will really bless you for that. Then also, it's really nice to have the Millers here this morning, Nadia and Karina. Karina is, I'm not sure when she's going to have the baby, but I thought she maybe already had. Yes, it's a little girl, going to be a little girl. So afterwards, you can just bless Karina and tell her, because I'm sure somewhere in this week, the little Miller is going to arrive, and we're all going to celebrate for God, for His faithfulness, and for blessing them. So, awesome, guys. We're happy with you guys, and we're really looking forward to see that little, small little guy. Ach, yeah, sorry. I'm looking at my notes, which isn't a good thing, but it's going to be a girl, so that's going to be awesome. And I just want to see them go through all my announcements I have to make. And then, of course, this afternoon it's going to be the youth again, guys. I can really see there's something stirring in the youth, and I can see you guys are enjoying it and the feedback that I get. So I really also want to encourage you guys. We really love you, and you're part of church. You're members of church, and we see you that way, and that's why it's really awesome to make a commitment to you, to really fellowship with you guys at the youth. Okay, I want to pray. Father God, this morning, Lord, we want to come to you, Father God, and Lord, we just want to stand in awe of your greatness, God, for your holiness, for the God that you are to us, Father God. And Lord, you are the author of salvation, Father God. And thank you that through our salvation, Father God, that we can be righteous, Father God, that we can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. We want to thank you for the cross, Lord Jesus, and thank you that you died on the cross once, Father God, for all of our sins, Father God. That when you look to us this morning, Lord God, as your children, Lord God, that we can know, Lord God, you see us cleansed and holy, Father God. Lord, that we're not under the law anymore, Father God, and that Jesus died for us, Father God, and we just want to worship you for that. Thank you for your abundance of grace, Lord God, for your mercy, Lord God, and that we can stand here this morning, and that you always give us another chance, Father God. And this morning I pray, Father God, that you'll really speak to our hearts, Father God. Thank you that you've already started to speak to our hearts in the worship, Lord God, that you speak to every one of us, Father God. Yes, Lord, that everyone doesn't have to listen to me, Father God, but that they can listen to the Holy Spirit. We worship you for that, Father God. And I just pray, Father God, that we can lay down all distractions now, Father God, and just come to you and listen to you, Father God. And afterwards, when you're going to worship again, Father God, that we can just bring ourselves as worship to you, Father God. And it's awesome to give our worship to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, guys, the last few weeks we talked about the storm, and lots of us facing a storm, we're looking at the waves, and we said we should look at Jesus Christ. And then after that, we talked about that place of rest that is in the storm. There's also a place of rest that we can find. We also looked last week at the story of the father and the two sons, also known as the prodigal son, and really what someone once said that one of the preachers said that if someone were to tie his hands, he wasn't able to preach. And I also feel like that. I also want to, I just see myself doing that, but I guess that's part of who I am. And this morning, I really want us to look. I feel it in my heart. I really some of it also came out on Tuesday morning during the intercession, that God really wants to speak to us as his children, that God wants us to reign in life. God wants us to reign over poverty. He wants to reign us over to sickness, every curse, every disease, everything like that. It's his heart to be good towards us. And I want to read to you, God wants us to be the head and not the tail. I want to read to you from Deuteronomy 28 verse 12. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. You know, it's really awesome, and there's so many. I can quote a lot of scriptures to you this morning regarding God's heart towards us. You know, he really wants to bless us. He wants us to prosper. He doesn't want us to be cursed and sick and under poverty and things like that. He really wants us to be blessed, and that our cup can be overflowing, and that we can be that streams of living water in Jesus Christ. Now we can ask ourselves, where does it come from? How can we reign in life? You know, does it depend on your education? Does it depend on how old you are, how much money you have in the bank? Maybe if you've got a big, solid bank account, you can reign a bit more. Maybe the world thinks a bit like that, but we don't. Is it maybe your CV? If you've got a better CV, you can reign a bit more. Does it work like that? No, it doesn't. If we look back about 2,700 years ago, when the book of Isaiah was written, there's a lot of prophecies regarding Jesus Christ and what he was going to come and do on the cross for us. Now, I think there's about 17 chapters where there's a reference made to Jesus Christ, the son of, you know, the rod of Jesse, all those different names that are used in the book of Isaiah, prophesying about Jesus coming to the earth, dying on a cross for us, and that we can be righteous before God. I want to read to you from Isaiah 53, verse 8, and we should read the whole passage, but it's a bit too long. I'm not going to get through everything this morning, but I'm only going to read a few scriptures to you regarding that. And it's really, that's where God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to his people, and he's telling us what Jesus Christ is going to come and do. And that's the beauty of the scripture, of the Bible, of the holy, of God's word. You know, when we look at God's word, now that was about 2,700 years ago. And that's so relevant for where we stand today. So let's read from verse 8. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Now everything, it's referring to Jesus Christ. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of many people. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear the iniquities. And that's Jesus who's going to bear all of our iniquities. And in verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide his spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. You know, that's so powerful, you know, that we can know that Jesus died for our transgressions. You know, he was the ransom on the cross for all the sins that we were to do. I want to read to you also from Matthew Henry's Bible commentary just regarding this little passage, because I think it's so powerful the way he said it when he was commenting on that part. He said, here is laid a firm foundation for the trembling sinner. Now, I think all of us are trembling sinners from time to time, and at certain time a little bit more, especially when we know, now we really missed the mark, now we really got it wrong. You know, then we know we feel a bit like a trembling sinner because we almost think, we wonder when that hand of God is going to come and punish us. But don't think that way. For the trembling sinner to rest his soul upon, we are the purchase of his blood and the monuments of his grace. For this he continually pleads and prevails, destroying the work of the devil. And I feel that he was destroying the work of the devil. And this morning I really want us to focus on how we can reign in life. You know, God really wants us to reign. And there's a few keys. There's a few things. There's not much spiritually that we can actually do except for allowing Jesus Christ into our lives. Let's read from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now that's exciting to know that when we are in Jesus Christ, we are new. The old has passed away. In verse 18, all this is from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to him and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. I want to read that part again because it's something that I want you guys to hear and to make it your own. It's something really important in verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. How can that be? God is not counting all our trespasses against us. Because in the worldly system, we want to work on that eye for eye principle. You know, you do something wrong, you drive too fast, then you get from the speed cop, you get a ticket. That's how we used in life things work. And in verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's the thing that I want to tell you this morning, that when we are in Jesus Christ, then we are the righteousness of God. We are righteous. When God looks to us, you know, he doesn't see Andrew sitting there and all Andrew's sin. No, he's not looking to Andrew like that. Andrew, just raise your hand that everyone know who you're talking about, that Andrea. And Jesus is looking to him through the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, and he's not seeing all those things. He doesn't pull a file and then he looks at all the little things that say the past, say, what will it be, about 33 years, how old would Andrew be, maybe 30 or 27, I'm not sure. But God is not pulling that file and looking at him and saying, okay, on this date, you did that. And on this date, so I'm going to respond to you in the manner or regarding all of your sin. No, God isn't working like that. He's looking to Andrew and he's seen a new person. He's become a new person. He's righteous before God. And God sees Andrew and all of you, all of us standing here this morning, when we are in Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God. And this passage, this part of Scripture is one of those parts I really love. Because when you are saved and the old person died, we knew what the old sinful person was like. And I knew in my own life it was bad, you know. And that person is dead and buried. That's why when I was baptized, that old person died. The new person rose. And I can stand before God, and when I go to God and I pray, when I speak to my Heavenly Father, I doesn't have to first wonder, okay, what punishment will I get before we can talk, you know? God is not going to, you know, make things even or anything like that. And then he says, okay, now you can speak after I've given you maybe a bit of a hiding for the past week or year and the things you have done wrong. God doesn't work like that. Now, the declaration to reign is based on a promise of God from his eternal word. So if God says it in his word, we can make it our own. We doesn't have to think about it, pray about it, debate about it, ask about it. When God says it in his word, we can just believe it. I want to read you from Romans 5, verse 17. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ. Now that first person that scripture is talking about, that's Adam. You all know what happened in Genesis. Adam and Eve, they sinned, and then it was the fall of man. Since then we lived in a sinful era, a sinful period in time, and it was so bad that God at a certain day must have thought, I'm going to tell Noah and his family and a few animals, or all the animals, to get on a boat, and I'm going to clean the earth to make kind of a new start, you know, because everything was so sinful, everything was so bad after what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. But now in Romans 5 we can read there, God is saying, because of that one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. But the important part that we should make our own this morning is, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and a free gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man Jesus Christ. There's something important there. It's that free gift. That free gift. Our salvation is free. It's something that we have to accept. Who of you have worked for your salvation? Nobody. We can't. There's nothing that we could do to earn our salvation from our side. There's nothing that we can work, we can do ministry, go on missions, we can fast. There's nothing like that that we can do to make God love us more, or that He can give us more blessings or anything. It doesn't work like that. The power of Christ's obedience to overcome Adam's act of disobedience is the theme of this paragraph. Now you see, through Adam sinning, He brought death. He brought death and He brought sin. You see? But Christ, through His obedience on the cross, and remember, Christ was, until death, He was obedient to His Father God. Through that obedience, He brought righteousness and life to us. You know, that's why I'm saying, we can stand here this morning, we can worship, and we're going to worship afterward as righteous before God. We don't first have to come and read the list of 10 or 20 or 50 transgressions you've made the past week and ask God, please, to cleanse you of that, and then you can worship. It doesn't work like that. We've got life in Jesus Christ, and that's so exciting. Adam was disobedient and Jesus Christ was obedient. The one brought death, the one brought life. Also, Adam's trespasses brought condemnation and death, as I said, and Jesus' justification and righteousness. Now, the thing is, unfortunately, all of us was born as small Adams. All of us. None of us was born holy. All of us was born in sin. So there's a certain thing that I want to share this morning, and that is, you know, because we are all under Adam, we must come to Jesus Christ. You know, and that is where salvation comes in. That is where Christ's redemptive work on the cross becomes so important, because Jesus Christ died once and for all. The only thing that we should do is we should invite Jesus Christ into our lives. You know, that's where Scripture says we are born again. We become new. Now, the secret in life, if you want to reign in life, is to accept everything that Jesus Christ did 2010 years on the cross for us. Oh, that's all that you have to do. There's nothing more that, you know, it's only those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness who will reign in life. If you say no to that, you're not going to make it. Because when we start to try and reign out of our own strength, our own ability, and, you know, maybe you can see a picture of a small boy riding on his bicycle, you know. And at first, there's those little side wheels. And that's helping you a bit, and you're getting your balance right. And the more confidence you get, the more, then the side wheels come off, and that is touching the saddle and helping you. And then on a certain day, you can ride on your own. But you see small boys, I can see those of mine with the small little black motorcycles. The more confidence they get, you know, the more rough they ride, you know. And sometimes in life, it works similar for us. Sometimes when we're young, you don't have that much confidence. But as you grow up and your car gets bigger and your house gets bigger and the people working for you get more and your salary are getting bigger, then we start to think in life, we can reign a bit, you know. We can, through our own abilities, we can pull a few strings, we can make a few things happen. And that's the desire of fallen mankind. Because everywhere in the world, we will know that equation of money equals power. And that's why the whole world is, in a sense, such a rat race after finances and money and things. Because Hollywood and the Western world makes us think a lot of times, the more money, the more $1 million you have in your hand, the more power you will have. And the more power you'll have, the more influence you'll have. And then you'll be able to reign. But this is not what God is teaching us in Scripture. We live in a performance-driven society, so we think in the natural, in the way the world works. The more that we will do, the more we will receive. The more hours you put into your job, you'll be rewarded for that. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't work hard or study hard. You guys, we should work hard and we should do it as unto God. You know, it should be a way of life. But that isn't the beginning and the end of everything. We cannot earn God's blessing by our own efforts. God's blessing are based entirely on His grace. God's blessing are entirely based on His grace. Okay, and then obviously we should receive Jesus Christ. That's, you know, that's why it's called the finished work. When Jesus died on the cross, He called out, "It's finished, it's done." You know, He shouldn't die. Jesus only died once. He shouldn't die a second and a third time because we are 6 or 9 billion people on the earth. He died once and for all. It's finished. And that finished work of His are so important to all of us. I want to read to you from Hebrews 10 verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." I just want to read that last part again. "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." You know, and that's the exciting thing that we can know. Jesus did it once and for all, and we are forever righteous before God. So if you do something wrong, you should repent about it. You know, it's a good thing, but you know, you are still righteous before God. That doesn't mean God feels differently about you. You know, the devil will always try to bring sin between us and God. But God knows we stay His children, and that's the exciting thing. Now you see, in the olden days in Judaism, the priests were continually sacrificing. You know, they were continually sacrificing. But Jesus, if we read in that in the first scripture, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." And the interesting thing is, daily those priests had to stand and they had to sacrifice. But Jesus did it once and then He sat down. Now that's almost like something you can weigh against each other and see in the humankind, in our flesh, in our nature. We should continually men want to sacrifice something. But it doesn't work like that, you know. God did it once and for all. Jesus did it once and for all. And we should live from that place. Okay, then I want to read to you from Ephesians 2 verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Now it says, we were dead and in trespasses, and God made us alive. Now you remember that parable of the lost son, or of the two sons. We said both of them were lost. And this, the father in that parable representing God, he was so glad, you know, when his lost son came back. And he later on, he told the older brother, he said, "My son was dead, but he's alive again." And you know, we were all dead in Adam, but we are alive in Jesus Christ. Say, "I am alive in Jesus Christ." Amen. Okay. God made us alive, and we can sit with Him in heavenly places. Now remember where I started from. God wants to bless us. You know, He wants His heart for us is to be the head and not the tail. That scripture is saying we're sitting in heavenly places. We're not laying in some dungeon. You see? But there's a key to this. Sometimes, why do we feel that we are in a dungeon or in a gutter, in mud, or things are feeling a bit bad? You know, when the devil comes to you and he is accusing you of the things you've done, whether it's long ago, or a day ago, or this morning, then you can just quote scripture back to him and you can point to the cross and you can say, "It's done." And you quote that scripture back to him. "It's done. You are righteous before God." Because it's only yourself and other people and the devil that will point to you and say, "Andrew, this is what you've done. You've killed a man, or you did this, or you did that." You know? But God doesn't come and tell us that. When you pray, when you start to worship, you don't get a something first which says, this is all the trespasses, Carl holds that. No, you can stand and you can walk into that place and you can worship our Father and our God. Many believers are defeated today because they are struggling to qualify themselves for God's blessing by their own work. We cannot earn our salvation, our healing, or our breakthroughs. You know, we shouldn't try in our own strength or ability to come into a right standing before God, because then we're going to the law again. Okay, let's read from John 1, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, it's, remember, the law is still standing. There was a certain stage that God had to put the law there because we had to know what God's moral standards were. You know, I was driving in my car and, you know, there's a board saying the speed limit is 60 or 100 kilometers per hour and I'm driving 140 kilometers an hour, then I'm breaking the law. There's a certain law I'm breaking then. But if that board wasn't there, then I wasn't too able to know I'm breaking a law. Now you see, when God gave the law, the only way that we could have been righteous is if we could fulfill the law. If we were able to, you know, get all the right marks, all the ticks, and we did everything right. But Scripture says we all fall short of the glory of God. There's no way we can do that. So the law was always pointing thoughts that we need a redeemer. It was always pointing that something, a dispensation had to come to save us from that. Now the law was given, Scripture says. Now that implies there's a distance. It came, you know, the law was on two tablets, but grace came to us. Now what is grace? Grace is Jesus Christ. Grace is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to us. He came as a person. We could have a relationship with that person. The law was a bit cold and hard, but grace is gentle and warm. And when we started at the beginning of this year speaking about grace, and Pastor Fred started preaching about it, I thought at the start, it's a season. But guys, grace isn't a season or a doctrine or anything like that. Grace is Jesus Christ. It's through God's grace that He sent His Son, that we could be reconciled to Him. Amen. That's exciting. That's wonderful. That we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. God isn't interested in if you were forever wanted to hold us accountable to a law, you know, and say, this one you got, that one you missed. This one you got, that one you missed. But God's heart isn't like that. God is a relational God. That's why so many places in Scripture says, He says, I will be your God and you shall be my people. God chose us first. You know, and that's exciting. It's wonderful to know that God is interested in us, in every one of us sitting here, in our lives, in the things we do, the things we don't. God wants to know about that. That's why I want to encourage you always to make time in a day, guys, really, and to go and sit and speak to God, talk to God. Go and a few weeks ago, a month or two ago, maybe we talked about, you know, that place of stop and smelling the flowers. You know, maybe just going sitting at a dam or somewhere in nature, some place where you feel really it can be only you and God. And then you share your heart with Him, your fears, your dreams, you intercede. That's exciting. Okay. Then we can enter boldly into the presence of Almighty God without any guilt, condemnation, or expectation of punishment. Because of the cross, the price for our sin has been paid. And that's the place where we should live from. It's finished. That price has been paid. It's not on our heads. Again, Jesus Christ was the ransom in our place. That's why I said earlier, when we come to God, we can come to Him. We doesn't have to expect God is going to punish us now for the things we have done. We can live that from that place of victory. We can live from that place of freedom. When you walk, if I can put it that way, spiritually, there's not things changed to your legs anymore. You can just walk. You can just go to God. You can just stand here this morning and lift your hands and worship God. You don't have to fear first. The Christian life is a life of rest. Rest in Jesus Christ and His finished work. You know, and why did God give us this place of grace? You know, this thing of grace. Because we don't deserve it. It's because God is a good God. It's not because we're good people. You know, He's a good God and He knew what we needed. And that's why He sent Jesus Christ. the old covenant of the law is deserved favor. When you obey the commandments perfectly, you will be blessed. That's how the old dispensation worked. Under grace, grace is undeserved favor. Jesus obeyed God perfectly, and you will be blessed by believing in him. Now, afterwards, we're going to talk, I'm still going to say something about salvation, because I remember that day, the 24th of October 2002, that day I prayed a sinner's prayer. That day I asked Jesus to become king of my life. I repented of my sin. I invited God into my life. And that day someone prayed with me. I became a new person, you know. And I remember the next day and a few days, I just knew I'm different. Things were, I didn't completely understand everything, but I knew it was, I was different. I was a new person in Jesus Christ. I even didn't knew that scripture maybe, but in my heart, in my way of living, I just dropped that stage. I was still listening to tapes. You know, I just left some of the stuff, and I knew tapes. I was starting to listen worship music, something I never ever did before. You know, and there was just something inside me that I wanted to feed. You know, that's why it's so important to get you a good Bible and to start reading scripture, understanding scripture. And when the devil comes and he will want to point to you and say, you've done this, you've done that, you just point him to the finished work on the cross. That's that place where we can reign from. Righteousness cannot be earned by good works. It can only come as a gift. A gift is no longer a gift when you work for that. And that's so important to understand. It's a gift, guys. It's something we should just receive. We shouldn't work for that, because then it's not a gift anymore. If I give a gift to Andrew, you're the guy this morning, Andrew, then I give it to you and I'm not asking it back again. I'm not telling you, I'll give you this Bible, but then you must first wash my car. It doesn't work like that. When I give it to you, I give it to you. Then I also want to read to you this morning from Hebrews 8, verse 8. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with the... Now, maybe I just want to say this. This part, sometimes you'll want to read scripture and you'll think, what is more important or what is less important? Obviously, everything is important. Some places there's good narratives and stories that tells us a lot about history and how things happened 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. But this specific piece of scripture I'm reading to you, you can write it down and you can read the parts before this and after that again. But this is one of the most important parts of scripture in the whole Bible. Let's see why. I'm going to start again from the beginning. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. Hebrews 8 verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. That means with all of us. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and write them onto their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each other, one his neighbor, or each his own brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. If God says it, then that's the way it is. If God says, I will remember their sins no more. Now this is this place of reigning that I'm talking about, this place of being righteous. But this is not for all of us. Oh no, I can't say it that way. All of us, as I said, were born in Adam. So all of us has to get out of that. We have to get into Jesus Christ. You know? And when we accept Jesus Christ by faith and through grace into our lives, then we can reign. Then we can stand at the place and know that where I'm standing right now, God is looking to me as his son, as my people. You know, I'm one of his sons and he's my God. That's the relationship we have. He's not thinking of me, of this and that son that Carl has committed, because I've done many sins in my life. You know? But that doesn't count anymore. Not when I stand before, not when I stand before God. Now, this is something I really, this is the heart, this is the crux of this morning, of what I want to say to you. You know, many people don't believe that God is a merciful God, that He's a good God. A lot of people in the world, when something goes wrong, he thinks, but God is punishing me now. I've done that, the law of consequence, you know. I've done this, now God is punishing me. I was driving somewhere, now I'm getting a flat tire. It must have been my sins that is catching up with me. God is not working like that. Do some of you feel like that sometimes? You know, if we all feel like that sometimes. Who of you have prayed more than once to God to forgive the same sin? Most of you. Most of you are honest, at least. Okay, most of us. Many times we feel so bad about something, and then we ask God, please forgive me for what I've done. Please forgive me. And then later in the day, you hear this little voice, maybe the devil, it's the devil telling you, but oh, you're so bad. What is your wife going to say? What is your parents going to say? What is your boss going to say? Now and then the shame comes on you, and you feel so bad about yourself, and you feel so unworthy, you know. And then you repent again and repent again. But it says Jesus has died once and for all, for all our sins. You know, it says here in Hebrews 12, for I will be merciful toward the iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. You know, isn't that exciting? It's wonderful to know, and that's the place, guys, that's where God wants us to live from. You know, He wants us to stand up in the morning and not carry so many sins with us, you know. We are cleansed. When Jesus Christ, when God is looking to us, you know, He sees a clean person. Jesus Christ is sitting there, and He's making all the time intercession for us before God. You know, we're going to stand there one day, and Jesus is going to say, this is Andrew, this is my son, I know him, come to me, because of that relationship. You know, because Andrew got saved, he got born again, he was made new. And Andrew knew God is his king, God is his father, and he is his son. That thing where we think that the flat tire mentality, if we could say it that way, where our sins are catching up with us, that's not the way God is working. That's not the way it's seen. Because, and we could just worship God for that. We could just worship God for that gift, this free gift, because we don't deserve it. You know, it's because God's a good God. And that's why, that's really, that's the thing I want to share with you this morning. And then also, when God looks at you today, He see you covered with Jesus' blood and completely righteous. It's only yourself, other people, or the devil that will come to you and say, you've done this, you've done that. Now the next time that is happening, you know, then you just point that whoever it is, whether it's maybe yourself, you just point yourself and go and read those scriptures again, and you say, it's finished. Jesus died once and for all. We are cleansed. Will you stand with me this morning, please? The worship team, you guys can please come to the front. And I want to really ask that we should keep focused and quiet now. I really believe that as I was talking this morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to our lives. You know, He spoke into our hearts, and we can all, Jesus is saying, all His sheep will hear His voice. We can all hear God's voice. And this morning, I want to ask you all, please to close your eyes as we stand there, just to focus and to look inward this morning. We can reign with Jesus Christ. And if you are feeling this morning that you are not reigning even closely, if you feel you're just a sinner, and you just keep on living in sin, and you're almost walking, and those shackles are just continually with you. If there's anyone feeling like that, if you feel like you're so deep into sin, you almost can't get out of it. Is there anyone feeling like that this morning? While all eyes are closed, I want you to just raise one of your hands quickly. It's only something between you and God this morning, not for anyone else. Thank you for those hands. And then also, if you battle to receive God's grace, maybe when you grow up, you always just had a father that just said, you did this, you do this wrong, and you did that wrong. He never affirmed you, He never loved you. But now God, our Father, our Creator, He's coming to us and He's saying, this grace is for free. You must just receive it. if you battle in life to receive God's goodness, His grace, if you battle with that, I also want you to respond and just raise your hand. And then lastly, if you feel that if you've sinned so many times in life, that this justification, it can't be for you. You messed up too badly. You've done too many things wrong. You thought too many things wrong. You're so negative. If you feel that you're constantly in that place where maybe Jesus Christ's blood isn't enough for you, you feel that you battle to accept it. If you feel like that this morning, I also want you to respond by raising your hand. And then the most important thing of this morning, if you in your life, and you'll know in your heart, the Holy Spirit will be prompting you, if you've never responded to Jesus Christ to become your Savior, if you've never become born again, a new person in Jesus Christ, if you've never done that, then I also want you to respond this morning. I want to ask the worship team are going to start playing now. Guys, I want us all to worship from a place of knowing what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. And then I want to ask all of you, and I'm going to ask something bold now. All of you that have raised your hand this morning, and you are battling with one of those things, I'm going to ask some of the facilitators to please come to the front. And I'm going to ask you guys to really come forward. We really want to pray with you this morning. So as the worship team are starting to lead us into worship now, guys, I want to ask you to please respond. It's not something between me and you. It's something between you and God. And God wants to meet you this morning. Every one of you have raised their hand. We want to pray with you this morning. And we want God and the Holy Spirit to sort this thing out in all our hearts this morning. So I want to invite you, as we're worshiping now, please come to the front. We want to pray with you.